Journey Church is a community and movement, a fellowship of discovery. We desire to love well and serve often, while together we explore the adventurous love story of Jesus.
Well, we're starting, or we're closing, or finishing our series on storytellers today. Re-storytellers. I gotta get that right. Re-storytellers. And before we do that, before we step into re-storytellers, I just, one last time, I'm going to have you stand up. Please stand up. I want you just to talk to somebody next to you for a minute and just tell them you're glad they're here. And maybe just say hi. Just meet somebody you haven't met before. Just do that right now as you're in your seats. All right. Hopefully you met somebody you didn't know. If not, hopefully you got to know somebody you do know better, a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, you're a little more awake than you were when you walked in. So today, we are finishing our series on re-storytellers. Next week, we begin a series on Christ and culture. And actually, next week begins the great adventure when we add another service over at the Franklin Theater at 10 o'clock. So if you're thinking about that, if you're thinking about that over there, if you don't have kids, I strongly encourage you to try the 10 o'clock over at the Franklin Theater. We haven't bought it. Franklin Theater. So we're hoping to maybe free up some more space. Obviously, we're cheek to cheek, literally, in this space. So if you think of that next week and you want to try the theater, please do. Now, just a reminder, if you have kids, there's no childcare over there. It's just going to be a family room. So just on your minds. Last week we talked about this journey, this path that we're on of spiritual growth, and how we as believers need to be rooted in this idea that we have become children of God, that we have been adopted, and it changes our whole identity, that we are loved unconditionally, that in being loved unconditionally, all of our being changes. Our identity actually moves from being an orphan to being adopted. And in that moment, in that relationship with God, what begins to happen in the life of a believer is it gives us a different place by which we start relationship. It gives us a different place by which we even engage God, our culture, our world. Because we've moved from a place of trying to extract from people the love that we want. We have it as our center because God freely gives it to us. And it is demonstrated in the gospel. It's demonstrated in this idea that Jesus would die for us. It is demonstrated in that relationship that the greatest demonstration of love is clearly the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Those that were unworthy received what was necessary for us to be in relationship. And the perfect Son of God dies for us, and he expresses that love. So out of that identity, we flow, we have life, and we give away that. And when we talk about loving well, that's what we're talking about. We talk about loving people sacrificially through that love that God gave us. When we try to do it in the flesh, it doesn't work. And that's kind of where we were last week. And as we move forward in this conversation, this journey that we're on, I just want to remind you that we gaze at Jesus, we stare at Jesus, we spend time with Jesus, we seek the truth about Jesus, so that, in fact, that what is coming into us and replenishing our soul really is a true understanding of who God is, who Jesus is. And when we do that, again, it restores our soul. And honestly, I think we need to deepen that relationship, all of us. We need to keep deepening that relationship, because the mystery and wonder of being in a relationship with God is that there's always something new. There's always something that we're off about that we learn about God. And if we stop that process, if we stop the process of gazing at Jesus and looking into his word and studying, and also just being in relationship with him, spending time with him and being on this journey and understanding that we need to constantly be redirected, we will drift away. We naturally drift off the path. We are by nature sheep who wander. And so if we don't keep our eye where we should, we will wander away. And then what this happens is that it allows us time, it allows us space, it allows us opportunity to contemplate who Jesus is. It moves us in that relationship. We do it in this space where we talk about taking communion. We celebrate together, but at the same time, we send each other. We want to express worship, not just in this space, but as we go about life, our lives are an act of worship. And so with that, we turn our attention to the next part of the journey this morning. And the next part of this journey is probably one of those things that I've probably, as I've talked to people in our church, is that it's one of the greater struggles for those that are not artists. It is to understand that all of us are part of God's mission as makers and creators. And learning the art of rest from those things. See, the restore part of that word, restoryteller, is to restore in us what we were made to be. The image of God in us implanted something in every human being. And part of that is to understand that he made us as creators. So as followers of Jesus Christ, our journey embraces the story of God. We join that story. We want to be a part of that story, and we're helping other people join that story. And we practice as a part of that love. We do sacrificial love. We do it with creativity. We do it as creators and makers. And honestly, when I first heard that phrase, when I first heard it, I thought to myself, we are a community of makers and creators. My response is, I'm not one of those. I'm not creative. That was my response. So if you're sitting there and you're listening and you go, I'm not really one of those creatives, I want you to park that idea for a minute. I want you to park it in a place, because my definition of creative had to be altered as I prepared this message this morning. See, because I had a definition in my mind and it didn't match the idea of what anyone would call me creative. They just wouldn't. Is it possible we don't see our own creativity because it doesn't fit into our culture's definition of creative? I would say it's true. You ever ask the question, what if? What if this was different? What if there's a possible solution that no one else sees? It's a question actually every human being asks. Either they ask it in their head or they say it out loud. Did someone ever tell you you're not creative? I need you to put that on the shelf for a few minutes. I need you to park it. I need you to just listen with an open mind. I dismiss, for the most part, part of my God-given design, because I have believed something that is not true about myself and it's not true about others. It is this: creativity only comes in a certain kind of package, and it's just not true. I want to this morning reclaim that word. I want to reclaim that word for the race that we call humanity, and allow for this idea to create, to be also a part of the commonplace for us. It's part of our personhood. When God created humans, he created them in his image. And he gave us personhood. He gave us purpose. He gave each of us personality. And he gave us the ability to create and make. It is unique to us in creation that we are makers and creators. So God is a creator. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says this. Then God said, he's done creating everything else, and he says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so we ask the question, would a creator create one in his image that could not create? And the answer to that question is no. Part of the image of God that is stamped on men and women is this, is the very idea that part of our very nature is to create. And so the question is not, am I a creator or not? That's not the question. The question is this, how am I creative in my God-given design? How am I creative in my God-given design? If we believe in a God who created things and he created us in his image and we believe what this says about every human being, there is a natural inclination that you and I need to step into and lean into. You were made as a maker and a creator. It's part of your image. Now, you can sit and say, well, I'm not creative like other people. Stop comparing yourself to other people. That's the other thing you have to park. Dismiss. Because if everybody was creative in the same way, we'd have huge problems. The second thing I want you to dwell on for just a second. Creativity is not a word that is reserved for the artist. It is inherently human to be a creator. It is inherently human to be a creator. I mean, think about it. The single mom who juggles two kids, a full-time job, car repairs, and is able to show love to her kids by making time for them, that requires creativity. The dad who travels for his work and finds way to stay connected to his family. The unemployed who figures out how to live on less money. It requires us to say and answer the question, what if? The administrative assistant who figures out the details for their scattered boss, and half the room says, amen. The songwriter who strings words together and notes together to make something work. The artist who looks at a blank canvas and paints, and something comes from that. The accountant who sees numbers and can organize them in such a way that they can explain the health of a company is creative. A talent manager who can find ways to make even the most difficult client happy. The other half of the room goes, amen. And did you know that there are computer programmers that can do things on a computer that would make your head spin because they can bring order out of chaos? See, the first hurdle for all of us, including me, is to embrace the idea that you were made by a creator and he stamped his image on you. Part of your identity is being a creator and a maker. You can't escape it. And so when we say our church is for creators and makers, we're saying it's for everybody. But we want you to lean into that idea. We want you to see wholly that God created you in a particular way to create in the way that he made you. Creativity is often born out of a new situation, a problem to solve, a pain to subdue, a new environment. All of these situations cause some kind of level of discomfort. So you've been in those places of discomfort. You've been in those moments where this is, and somebody sits down and begins to dream or scheme or become inspired to solve the problem, to fix what is wrong. And creativity is engaged. Creativity is engaged when there is a moment when somebody is watching a group of kids and the kids are unruly and having a hard time listening, and they realize the best thing we can do now is just burn off energy. And so they let them run around the room. That looks like chaos, but it's creative room management. And sometimes I wonder if we ought to do that as adults. See, it is to create order out of chaos. It is to create something new out of an idea. It is to press the limits of the order to cause new thinking. Again, I ask you, what if comes to the mind of those that wonder? If things were different, what if? Maybe that's the beginning of creativity. It's just to ask, what if? Now, our personalities and our giftedness obviously play a part in this, often determine the arena in which we use our creativity. Some of us are very in the lines type of people. And staying in the lines is really important. I learned that when I learned how to color. Stay in the lines or you get a bad grade. And so creativity means you stay in the lines, or lack of creativity means you stay in the lines. But the lines have nothing to do with creativity. That's the part that I think we get hung up on. Because you can be very creative and stay in the lines, and you can be very creative and be outside the lines. The rules are to be followed if you're a type of person that says these are how it works. Even when you write a song, there's certain rules to follow. When you paint a painting, there's rules to follow. The rules are to be followed, and we get very uncomfortable when people get outside of those rules. I just want to give you just a practical example that everybody in Nashville's been a part of. Stuck in a traffic jam on 65, 40, 440, you pick it. Everybody at some point been stuck in a traffic jam. If not, man, you live in the right place, you drive at the right time. And so there's a number of ways to engage that. You don't want to know how I engage it because it's not pretty. But when you get stuck in a traffic jam, there's a number of ways that you can respond. And I just want you to sit and think, okay, I respond this way. You can pick a lane and just go with it. Those people that just stay in one lane. And then there are the people that bounce back and forth from lane to lane. Yeah, I lean there. And hoping that I pick the right one. And if there's a space, I'll go for it. I'm a little bit further ahead. I love to keep moving. There are those that I've seen that pull over and wait for the traffic to clear. Then there are those that drive down the shoulder of the road. We have a few shoulder drivers. And then there are some I've seen that just drive in the grass. And then there are some that turn around in those, you're not supposed to turn around spots. Or they get off at the nearest exit. But if you're stuck, you're stuck. Some of them just go, you know, this is the beauty of owning a truck in Tennessee. Oh, okay, I can just go through the ditch, go around, and go. You know, I don't know which one speaks to you, which one of those things that you do, but all of them, I would say, speak to creativity. Adversity to risk will determine in those moments our personal creativity. They all solve the problem. You stay in that lane, I guess Mythbusters did something on this. You stay in a lane or switch lanes, it doesn't matter, you get through about the same amount of time. Just so you know, in case if you're wondering if it matters. But it does make me feel better to move. They all solve the problem. Some are inside the rules and some are outside the rules. That does not mean some of us are more creative than others. Some people's creativity causes more chaos and some brings order. And we need both versions of creativity. I'm going to say it again. Some people's creativity causes chaos and some people's creativity brings order. Creativity that causes chaos pushes people to think beyond the current and look for alternative solutions. They look at situations differently, as if the lines don't exist, as if the rules don't exist, because we can break the rules. And so when we hear this, it causes us discomfort. It causes us to feel different. It looks a whole lot like change because change is impending. And so those of us who think creatively outside the lines have a tendency to push people to think beyond the current. That is absolutely necessary. Because otherwise we would all stay within the lines all the time. But it's an uncomfortable kind of creativity. But the second kind of creativity, the creativity that creates order, brings rhythm, it brings peace, it brings system, it brings something to the new current. And so somebody creates chaos, and somebody else comes along and within the new lines creates order, creates peace, so that those of us who are adverse to change can kind of migrate into the new normal. And so it's not as offensive, it's not as painful. The person who works with the system in a traffic jam says this: we need more lanes to solve this problem. And this is brought to light by the person who causes chaos, by who hits the shoulder of the road, who hits the grass and says, I'm going to create my own lane. Both are creative, just with different personalities thinking in different ways. I want to share a scene from the movie Apollo 13. They're on a mission to the moon, and the plane gets the plane. What are they? The ship. Let's go with ship. Wow. Okay. They have to abort the mission because the ship gets damaged. And they have to come up with a solution to a difficult problem. Now, I don't know how many of you know engineers. Engineers are in-the-box thinkers, right? They think creativity is within the rules. They got to make the rules work. And I want to see. I want you just to see, if you've queued it up, this clip from when they have to figure out how to fix the oxygen problem on the spaceship.
Gene? We have a situation brewing with the carbon dioxide.
We had a CO2 filter problem on the lunar module.
5 filters on the limb.
Which were meant for 2 guys for a day and a half.
So I told the doc.
You're already up to 8 on the gauges. Anything over 15 and you get impaired judgment, blackouts, the beginnings of brain asphyxia.
What about the scrubbers on the command module?
They take square cartridges.
The ones on the limb are round.
Tell me this isn't a government operation.
This just isn't a contingency we've remotely looked at.
Those CO2 levels are going to be getting toxic.
Well, I suggest you gentlemen invent a way to put a square peg in a round hole. Rapidly.
Okay, people, listen up. People upstairs handed us this one, and we got to come through. We got to find a way to make this fit into the hole for this. Using nothing but that. Let's get it organized.
Okay, let's build a filter.
Better get some coffee going.
They have to get creative. They had to figure out how to make a round thing fit into a square thing so that it would work to save the lives of people, and they had to do it in a short period of time. It's a great scene. It is a picture of how, even though they would probably, if you line that group of engineers up in a room and say, are you creative? They would probably all say, well, no. But they had to answer the question, what if? And they had to answer it with a certain amount of, within the parameters of the rules. And they had to do it in such a way that it would bring about a result. People, that's creativity. And so when God calls us makers and creators, we all have that within us. We are wired a particular way. Another interesting thing happened. My wife decided to garden this summer. We've never gardened before. It is a new adventure for us. And we bought a house that had blueberry bushes. And the blueberry bushes, unbeknownst to me, are a favorite of the birds in the neighborhood. So if we wanted any blueberries, we had to figure out how to keep the birds out of the blueberries. My solution was simple. I will sit on the patio with a gun. This is as creative as I get. And I will shoot the birds. Eventually, the dead birds will scare away the other birds, and we've got this problem solved. That's not a good idea in a neighborhood, I understand, especially since my backyard backs up against a road. You know, shooting probably wouldn't have been good. She came up with putting netting over the top of this in a particular way that we called it Fort Knox. But there was birds would gather around that thing and try to figure out how to get in. But we got more blueberries this summer because of the creativity of one person figuring out how to keep. See, creativity solves the problem. My solution was not a good solution. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we collectively need to start looking at each other through the lens of God made each of us creative. Each of us. And what we bring to the table matters. And what we bring as a community matters. And what happens together as a matters. And so we begin to affirm the maker and creator in others as you see it. Part of doing this journey together is to acknowledge, I want you to apply your creativity to this. I want you to apply your ability to make to this. And it's a beautiful thing when a group of people come together and they do it together. Because there are those that think outside the box and there are those that think inside the box. And you need both of them to think creatively in order for it to work. And we need to appreciate all the other forms of creativity as we see it. It is to use the creator-maker part of us as you engage this. And it is to engage the mission of God. And we are called then to use what God has imprinted upon us to engage. So if we went to 1 Corinthians 3:9, see, we were created for work. We were created for his purpose. We were created to join him in his labor. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are co-workers with God in his service." You are God's field, God's building. It is just to understand the church is a journey. It's not a destination. To understand that it's not a building and it's a place, not even a place. It is the gathering of God's people. When we gather together, the church is there. And therefore, it takes some creativity to even embrace that idea, because it is not the cultural norm to embrace the idea that really the church is not a location. And that it's excuse me, it is not culturally normal for the church to embrace the idea, or the culture to embrace the idea, that it is on a journey. And so with that comes this complication, and with that comes creativity, and with that comes this idea that even being here at a place called Journey, where we are calling it out that we are makers and creators, to call it out that we are on a journey, that we are seeking wonder, that we're willing to take risks, all of those things are true. You've got to have a little bit of creativity in you. It may make you uncomfortable to hear those words, and it may make you squirm a little in your seat, and it may make you have to rethink what the idea of creativity is. I have to rethink that model, because I often put it in the category of the arts, and it isn't that. It's there, but it's here as well. It is in the mind of somebody who can organize things. And that's what I do. I organize things. I solve problems. And if it's a creative way to do it, I'll do it. And if it causes risk, I'll do it. But at the same time, I am trying to minimize the amount of discomfort that goes with that. Whereas somebody who thinks outside the box isn't concerned about people's discomfort. They just think outside the box. And so I just really want you to know that God loved you enough to die for you, but he also loved you when he imprinted this idea that you're a maker and a creator on you. And he wants you to use it in his mission. We're co-laborers with him. In a culture that is so different, and it seems to change all the time, and we see the changes as they take place, it requires creativity for the church to engage it. We cannot stay where we were. And it takes the collective creativity of a group of people, not just an individual, to be able to engage a culture. That's what it means to be a co-worker with God. He's placed you in places. He's moved you into neighborhoods. He's given you workplaces. And he's given you this stamp of creativity. And he says, now engage in the work that I've called you to. Yes, do your job. Live in your neighborhood. But use the creativity you have to engage the people around you, to invite them into this idea of a journey that ultimately will introduce them to the love story of God that you're already a part of. I believe that the number one thing that we have at our disposal is this idea of creatively engaging our culture, which we are about to step into over the next several weeks. I encourage you that we, as part of our identity, it's not that you have to muster up creativity. You are already creative. It's how God designed you. And so it's how it plays out in your life. This is a journey in which God says, I've enlisted you into being a part of the mission. Join the mission. Here's one of the great, I think, difficulties of doing that, especially culturally, is that we have no margin to do it. We have no space to do it in our lives. We are creatures that ultimately need a break. I want to take you to Genesis, back to Genesis. And it's Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 2 through 3. And I probably messed up with this. It's probably not up there. But it says this: by the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So God was working. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. I want to just ask you a brief question, and I want you to wrestle with this and answer the question honestly. Are you a person in need of Sabbath? Are you a person in need of rest? And if the answer to that question is, nah, I don't need to rest, there's one of two things going on in your life. One of them is that, first, you're probably not working hard enough. dead serious. That's one option. If you look at me and go, nah, I don't ever need to rest, I got this, you know, and stuff, then somewhere along the line, you're not engaging in the work that God's called you to. Because people who are engaged in the work that God's called, whether it's how you make your living, it's how you engage people, it's what you're about, if you never need rest, man, join the fray. I invite you in. Second problem is that you never rest and you're always tired. That seems to be more of the issue. That's my issue. I love to work. I was made to work. I read that in the Bible. I go, yeah, that's, I was made to work. I was put in the garden. I was made to work, so I should work. That rest thing, if I have to. If I get to the point where I'm exhausted, I will. See, the problem with that is that stifles this idea of creativity. If there's no space, if there's no margin, if there's no rest, if there's no restoring, if there's no sense of I've come to the end of myself, see, creativity gets stifled because now I can't think about anything else that could be a possible solution to any problem because I don't even want to engage the problem anymore. If I have no margin in my life, if I have no margin, I just marvel at the idea that somebody can sit down, write down notes on a page, and write words that go with it, and it comes out a song. In my mind, that's magic. I don't know what other word, that to me is a mystery. But if there is no margin in life to be able to do that, if there is just constant busyness to be, I don't know how you create. I don't know how you come up with solutions. I don't know how you write a song. If there isn't a million other things, if you're exhausted, it's hard. It becomes, creativity becomes a byproduct of, man, if I work at this hard enough. And I don't think it was meant to be that. And so we as human beings need downtime. We need a Sabbath. We need rest. And part of engaging in this love story of Jesus, I've been talking to Brett a few times. Brett oversees the Arts Collective, and part of his goal is he meets a lot of artists that are contracted, and they work endless hours, and they never rest, and they never get to the end of their day or the end of their week, and there isn't this moment of restoring. And if we don't come to a place of restoring, creativity is an afterthought. It's got to be incredibly difficult. It is for me. And so I've learned how to carve out time, and you have to fight for it fiercely. I just want you to know that if you fight for it fiercely if you schedule it in, schedule rest in. I'm going to do nothing this morning. I'm going to do nothing this day. But that's what you're doing. Rest, mind, space, margin, all of that brings back energy. Energy brings back the idea, oh, these problems aren't overwhelming because I can, what if I did this? And what if creativity reengages? I invite you into that. Because if you think you always have to be creative and you always have to be working and you always have to find your worth in that, it comes back to last week. You were adopted by God. You were adopted because he loved you. He's motivated by that, and he loves you dearly, and he's brought you to himself. And in bringing him to himself, he said, look, I'm going to adopt you, but I'm imprinting my stamp on you, and my stamp on you is that I invite you into my journey together with me, and you're going to use your creativeness, your personhood, your personality, your skills to bring about what I need in the life of the church and in the community you live around. Wow. But he also says, don't do it full time. Take a day off. Take a break. Put space in. There's got to be margin in your life. And as you contemplate that, and as we come to sing some songs, and as we begin to wrestle with this as a church, and as we move forward as makers and creators, spend some time. Spend some time with the stations. Take the communion this morning. Be reminded that you are dearly loved, and out of that is where you're really the overflow of your life comes from. It's where the creativity comes from. He died for you. There's a station in the back this morning. There's places for you to kneel and pray. There's places for you to give. And if you're new to Journey, we just ask that you just stand up. You can move around within these three songs all that you like. But I pray that what's being imprinted upon you is that you are dearly loved, and out of that dearly loved person comes this opportunity to be a part of the story and knit others into the story. And as that happens, you get to use your creativity, you get to use the skills, you get to do those things that ultimately partner us with God. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you so dearly love us, that you died for us. We thank you for the privilege of just knowing you, and we know that you imprinted on us this idea that we are creators and makers. I pray that we are, as your people, willing to see that, engage it, think it through, whether we're in the lines people, out of the lines people, whether we cause chaos with our creativity or we cause order. That's not the point. The point is that you've brought us together as a body for completeness. You brought us together that we would complement one another. You brought us together that we would be on this journey together. And I pray for everyone in this room that they're able to set aside this idea that there are creative people and not creative people. I pray that you would set that aside and that we would see each other as creative, that we would acknowledge that in each other's lives and we would affirm it as it comes out, even inside the lines. And in those moments when order comes and we create a system and we create ways to love people and we create art and we create songs, that we would know that we are acting out of the imprint on our hearts, that you made us in your image and for your glory. And may we be people that love the way we are made. Love it. Live in it as it is joined into this journey and to the love story that you have for us. Meet us there this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.